Hello and welcome to another episode of the Daily Remedy Podcast. Today we're here with Dr. Radhika Sharma. Dr. Sharma is an obstetrics and gynecology specialist and a physician life coach, as well as a personal coach. She is also a telehealth physician for Maven Clinics. She is active on social media, particularly on Instagram, where you can find her at BusyOBMama. And with that, I'd like to welcome Dr. Sharma.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate you chatting with me today.
Of course, we really enjoy your social media presence. And it's interesting because you practice in the Midwest, in a region that's less urban than most places in the country, yet your overall career and your social media presence is quite technological. Do you notice a difference between your in-person presence, your clinical presence, if you will, and your digital identity as a physician?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. So I would say that my digital identity came to life after practicing for many years. I really became confident as a attending physician and came into kind of my own way of practice. And that's what kind of led me to my own digital identity. And I remember being very nervous for some time regarding stepping out on my own and showing myself to the world, social media. Do I think that the way I present as a physician is different? To be honest, I would say not really. I kind of practice similarly on my platform as BusyOBMama on Instagram as I do when I'm in person. I try to make it really relatable. I'm a human being just with the expertise and the medical knowledge. I'm a woman, so it makes it easier for me to relate to these people. I've gone through a lot of similar kind of situations and challenges. And so I find myself just being myself. And from the very beginning of when I practiced as a physician, I honestly believed very highly of be yourself. You're not trying to be somebody else, be yourself, be relatable. And I find that's really served me well.
That's interesting. And reviewing some of your posts and some of your videos, one of the things I noticed was you are authentically vulnerable. You really present yourself as a genuine person that is relatable to people who share similar problems as so many people are facing in this day and age. Is that something unique about the OBGYN field in that there's a certain degree of intimacy that you're able to then capture into a digital presence?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question too. And it goes back to similarly, when you kind of transition from residency into being an attending physician, I feel like, again, you're not really into your own. You sometimes maybe feel like you have a guise and that you're just practicing medicine. And there's not always that humanism, but from practicing over several years, number one, being a woman myself, and then becoming a mother, it really made me realize just how challenging just real life was. And so it took me a lot to say, you know what, by me being vulnerable and by me being open, even if it helps one or two people or makes other people feel like they're not alone, that would be enough for me. So it goes back to the whole idea of what type of impact do you want to make on your world around you. And for me, it was, I wanted people to understand that yes, I was a physician, or I am a physician, but I'm also a mother. I'm also a wife. I'm also a friend. I'm a sister. And honestly, I've found that leading with vulnerability has made me feel more honest and authentic, and it's made me more relatable to people. So people feel comfortable just like sending me a message on social media, whether it be TikTok or Instagram, and say, hey, look, like, what about this? What are your thoughts on this? And again, I don't give out medical recommendations, but I can at least be relatable to them and say, hey, this is what I think may be going on, or this is how I dealt with this challenge at this time in my life. So yeah, vulnerability for me has come difficult in the beginning, but now very easily, because I just feel like it allows me to be relatable to not only patients, but just people in general, right? Because social media has, I want to take away that idea that everything's perfect. Yeah, I'm an OBGYN, but my life is very challenging in lots of ways too. And I want people to understand that and relate to that.
I like that. One of the themes you mentioned is the importance of being uncomfortable. Yeah. And I think you exemplify that. So I guess the next question would almost be inevitable. How do you do it? How do you balance these different aspects of your career? You mentioned sister, wife, mother, physician. Yeah. Do you actively switch different mindsets? Do you plan diligently day by day? Or is it just you've become so good at winging it? How do you do it?
Yeah, and that is another really great question. I would say up until just over a year ago, so probably the end of 2021, I probably did feel like I was just winging it. And I managed a lot with like overwhelm, feeling like I needed to be everybody, or I needed to be everything to everybody at all times. And really took me hitting a point of burnout, to be completely honest, in order to reflect back and say, okay, wait, what do I want? What is going to fulfill me? What do I need? And then how am I going to go about doing that? So by what I have created is a list of non-negotiables. Like, these are things for me that need to happen every day. These are things that have to happen every month. These are things that I want in 6 months. And so I make those things as quote unquote non-negotiables. For example, like movement of some sort every single day. I know even the big exercise gurus will give yourself a day off. Sure. My day off is I'm going to go for a power walk, or I'm going to do like a yoga class rather than doing something high intensity. Saying, you know what, letting go of the idea of being perfect and being everything to everyone, which is extremely difficult as a physician, because we have been groomed to be perfect. And a lot of the time society looks at us as if we're these superhumans. And so again, saying, there will be time for my family, there will be time for my children, there will be time for me to be a sister. And then when I am in that role, I'm just doing that. I love listening to some of the big optimism gurus. Simon Sinek is one that I was listening to recently. And so many theories have like totally plagued the idea of multitasking. Like, let's be honest, like multitasking, sometimes when you're trying to multitask, you've just set yourself up for failure. So be present in the moment, plan the time. As you said, do you plan things accordingly? Yeah. But when I commit to something, I say, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm not going to do more. I used to feel bad that I couldn't do it all. And now I'm like, other people will cancel and other people will say they can't do it. So why should I be any different? And that kind of is outlined by like setting boundaries and being like, I am not going to be able to be everywhere. It's okay if my child is not in every single sport and every activity. It's okay if I say no to my friend. Being able to set those boundaries and saying no, which I feel like in this day and age, especially with the digital day and age, it's almost harder to set those boundaries because people are like, why can't you just send a text? Or why can't you jump onto a quick FaceTime? I remember, especially when I was starting my digital presence, people are like 1 to 2 lives a week. And I remember being like, oh yeah, this is totally doable. This is totally easy. And I burnt out. I was like, this is not what I want. So really structuring my day and my life around what I want, what serves me, knowing my why, and what are my non-negotiables.
It's interesting. It's almost as though you were your own client, if you will.
Yeah, and that's funny. That's a really good way to put it. But yeah, it's funny.
I think that's interesting because what you had mentioned requires a lot of self-awareness. Mm-hmm. Almost by nature, you were coaching yourself before you went into coaching. Is it fair to say that's what drew you into serving as a coach?
Actually, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And I think me telling my story and me explaining how I got to where I am really helps identify why I went into coaching. And funny enough, I think I was mentioned in late 2021, I had my second child in 2020. And then to 2021, I started having that feeling of being lost, being overwhelmed. I describe it as like almost like sinking in quicksand. As every step I took, I was sinking deeper. And do I need therapy? What else could there be? And I used social media at that time to do an investigative search about can help me here. Like, I was definitely feeling like I was drowning and I need help. So I found some really great groups online that I was able to join and use as kind of supportive platforms. And that is where I was first introduced to life coaching. And I remember when I was first introduced to life coaching, I was like, what is this? Like, how is this going to serve me? I'm a physician, so it's a money grab. That's exactly what I thought. And then honestly, I investigated. I did a lot of investigation. Like, I did not jump. I was really like mindful of, okay, what is this school? What is that school? I did open interviews with each of the school. I asked the questions, and then actually I decided to become certified as a life coach in a program that I felt served me best. And even when I did that program, I wasn't doing it to be a coach, to be honest with you. I was doing it for myself because, as you said, like, I wanted that self-awareness. I wanted to deal with those feelings of burnout and the challenges and the thoughts in my mind. And then as I was going through the program, we do free coaching sessions to get our coaching hours, and I loved it. Like, I used to come off of coaching calls feeling so fulfilled and so like you really did make an impact in someone. And so absolutely, I would say that my own journey led me to my being coached and then becoming a coach as well.
It's interesting because your journey is like so many others, especially during the pandemic, where your experiences essentially gave you a certain awareness, a certain inclination to go this route. I'm interested to know how much of your clinical background either swayed you one way or the other. As an OBGYN, you're trained in a very specific set of skills, a very specific set of clinical conditions. Did that have any role, both positive or negative, in your journey to become a coach?
Yeah, I think that, you know, with obstetrics and gynecology, not only is it a clinical field where we're in the clinic, but we're also surgeons. And so there's this level of, again, that superhuman complex, feeling like I can do it all, feeling like everybody is just that feeling of like need and the expectation. And it's like, it's really heavy, right? And so I just knew that I was losing grip with the career itself, meaning I was starting to feel like, was this what I really wanted to do? Even from before I went to medical school, I did a couple international missions. I went to Peru, I went to India, I worked with NGOs, I worked with underserved areas, really focusing on women's wellness even before I went into OBGYN. And I felt like I wasn't connecting that part of myself with my clinical role. So I, again, it was that, you mentioned the word self-awareness. It was that feeling, is there more? There's got to be more, right? What am I missing? And so actually that desire to continue women's wellness in a whole is in a wholesome perspective rather than just, hey, you have this medical problem, I take care of you. That's really what drove me into coaching, to be able to look at a human and a person and a patient as more than just a patient, but what else do they need outside of their health?
That's interesting. You alluded to it, but I want to tease that out a little bit more. It seems like your coaching helps you relate better to your patients. How else has it helped your overall career?
The nice thing is I love medicine, but as I mentioned, like I felt like I wanted and needed for myself more. And it's allowed me to form my own coaching practice, which I absolutely enjoy, do one-on-one coaching. And then I was able to pair with another South Asian female coach who's also a physician. So we were able to form a platform known as South Asian Women Empowerment. And basically we work with South Asian women to empower them and overcome their expectations and find balance in their life. So coaching has allowed me to do that. It allowed me to be okay with telling my story because, again, it was another point of vulnerability and growth. I co-authored a book. I've written some articles. And then I've done speaking engagements, and I've been invited to do them for a smaller scale, for women's groups and for wellness groups. And then I've also been able to speak at the American College of OBGYN meetings. So the thing with coaching is it really allowed me to get out of my own way and dream. And those dreams that I had from before medical school, like I'm able to walk forth and say, yeah, check mark, I'm doing that, check mark, I'm doing that. And it's not that I need to have a big resume full of things that I did, but it's more of that feeling of fulfillment. What is the impact I'm leaving? How can I help a future generation? How can I help someone who may be in a similar position to what I was overcome their challenges and live that life that they want to be living and find joy every day?
Well said. Let's talk a little bit about your book, Thriving After Burnout. I know you had an Instagram live where you discussed it with your co-author. For those listening, can you tell a little bit about the book and what readers can get out of when they purchase it?
Yeah, so Thriving After Burnout was definitely like a project of actually 50 female physicians. So there was many of
Wow.
us, led by Dr. Sharon McLaughlin, who also is an entrepreneur as well, and she runs an entrepreneurial group on Facebook. But Thriving After Burnout was the story of these 50 female physicians, our stories to burnout, meaning how what happened to put us in the characteristics of burnout, meaning that feeling like, why are we doing this? Lack of fulfillment in our job, didn't want to move forward. And then we talk about how we moved forward and what we're doing now. And you know, what's really cool about the book is that our stories are different, but the undertones are the same. We were having those feelings of perfectionism, those feelings of judgment, those feelings of expectations, the I need to be able to wear every hat and do it perfectly. You know, we talk a little bit about different stories are about trauma, some stories are about addiction, and even like mental health and mental wellness and how that came into play, especially in training to become a physician. And then what I really liked is that it's not like we're all telling these really like hard doom and gloom stories. It's like we're telling these stories, but we're telling you what we've been able to create after. Meaning for myself, creating a coaching business, but continuing to practice medicine the way I want. There's people who completely left medicine because they realized I didn't want to do medicine in the first place. And just saying it's okay to pivot, it's okay for the goalposts to change, and you can still find joy in the everyday. And for me, I think that's really what writing my contribution to the book was about. It was like, how do you, in a world full of chaos, in a world where there's so many expectations placed on us, how do we peel back those expectations to really look inside and say, this is what I want, this is what's going to fulfill me, and then move forward with that into how can I apply that into my life to live life joyfully every single day? I don't claim to say, like, I'm happy all the time, I don't yell at my kids. No, absolutely not. I have those moments, but I also give myself time during the day to say, this is what I am joyful for, this is what I am thankful for.
Well, it's interesting that you have an abundance of knowledge and have applied it in different venues. If I were interested in taking up your services as a coach, and you, from the perspective of a coach, are looking at me as a client, what aspects would you want to work on from the beginning? One, and then two, who would be your ideal client with whom you feel you can provide the greatest benefit for?
Yeah, so usually it's very interesting. Sometimes you have people who are like, well, give me the answer. I want to know how to make the change. But that's not what coaching is. Coaching is really being able to, as I was saying, peeling back those layers, finding what really drives you and what fulfills you, and bringing that out. I did a Martha Beck Wayfinder Life Coach training. That was the program that I completed and the certification that I completed. And the beauty of that is we really look at life in terms of change cycle, how certain things occur in our life, how we deal with them, and how we can move forward with them. And then also looking forward of how we want to create that life that we want to have joy in every day. So not that we're actually like always striving for something down the road, but like what you're living today, how can you find joy in that? And so what clients can expect from me is not only do we deal with the challenges that you're having right now and the thoughts and the stories that you've created and that you're telling yourself, but we also work forward. How are you going to put things in place so you can continue moving forward on your journey in whatever way that is? Often my clients are going through similar things that I did, going from burnout to wanting to transition, transitioning from jobs, transitioning from having a new child, being a mom, transitioning from marriage. Speaking from my own kind of history, I was born and raised in a South Asian household where very loved by my family and supported, but the expectations were very heavy. Working through those cultural expectations and those feelings of perfectionism and comparison and peeling that away so you can enjoy your life the way you want to and not what's expected of you. So I do a lot of that with my clients and really just transition. I've also helped clients who are transitioning from full-time to part-time work because that's what I decided to do in order to find that joy again. And then, yeah, generally what I do is I'll either do one-to-one session and then we do it over a 6 week to 3 month period. And then you pretty much are with me as long as you need to be. So I've had some clients who have been with me since the beginning of my coaching journey because we just continue to work on and build to create their day to and maintain that day-to-day joy.
That's awesome. For somebody who's interested in your services, how can they get a hold of you?
So I'm on Instagram as Busy OB Mama. So Busy OB and Mama. I'm also on TikTok. And then otherwise, I have a website that is Busy OBs. So it's BUSYOBES.com.
Interesting. So for those of you who are listening, please take a look at Dr. Sharma's presence online, both on Instagram and on TikTok. And please reach out to her. Would Dr. Sharma, prospective clients be able to reach out to you by a DM, or is there an email that you would prefer them to reach out to?
Yep. So there's actually a link in my bio on Instagram that you can fill out for a free discovery call. That's what I really encourage people. Like, you don't always want to, you just don't know for 100%. I want to make sure that you feel like I'm the right person for you too. So I always recommend a discovery call, free discovery calls in the link in bio. You can DM me. Again, I'm a very, very open and transparent person. I want this to work for you. It's not just about me. It's so much more. And it's about creating that impact.
Thank you, Dr. Sharma. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.